How much bikes are there?
I'd say there's 100% of bikes in out there.
There was just like dead radio silence for like 3 seconds. That's how my jokes usually go.
Prison was probably the best experience I've ever had in my life.
Hope you didn't get in a car wreck from that hilarious story that Frankie told.
It is like Comedy Central around here tonight.
It's got like one line. I'm in so much pain.
Welcome to the Can Be Now podcast.
We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm Tyler Frankie.
And I'm Tyler Clausen.
A threat against Canby High School found written in graffiti in one of the bathrooms this past week is not believed to be credible, according to a memo the school district sent to parents and other CHS community members late last night. The threat was discovered by students this week, but was not reported to Canby police until Sunday. They investigated throughout the day and were in communication with district staff. Their conclusion was that the threat does not appear to be credible. We consider CHS to be safe, Principal Greg Dinza said in the district's memo on Sunday. Classes will be held as scheduled today. However, there will be an increased police presence on campus to provide increased security and additional assurance that they are safe. Principal Dinza said the district and Canby police will continue to investigate the threat and work to determine who's responsible. Perlo Construction, the general contractor hired to build a new 530,000 square foot home of Columbia Distributing's Portland metro area operations in the Canby Industrial Park, has been granted a noise variance that will allow them to pour concrete starting at 3 a.m. on weekdays throughout the summer and fall. The city's noise ordinance would normally prohibit construction activities before 7, but Columbia's new beverage warehouse and distribution facility is not a normal development. Easily the largest building in town, the new facility sits on 43 acres and will be about 2.5 times the size of the Canby Fred Meyer. It kind of goes without saying, but that's a lot of concrete. Here's Perlo's site supervisor on the project discussing the matter with Canby Mayor Brian Hodson at the Canby City Council meeting last week.
Yes, it's a really big project, as you guys all know, and it's about 22,000 yards of concrete we'll be pouring on this project between those months, so it is going to be very rapidly to take advantage of the good weather moving into the winter. Mm-hmm.
22,000 yards equates to how many cement trucks?
Well, it's about 10 yards a truck, so.
Okay. Just a few.
The supervisor explained that the noise variance was needed not just to give his crews more hours in the day to work on the massive project, but because the early morning is a much better time to lay and begin working with wet cement than after the sun has risen and the heat of the day is settled in. Because the site is so large and many of the neighbors are farms or other industrial users like Canby Excavating, he said he hopes the impact on residents will be minimal.
The concrete trucks and the equipment that is out nowadays, they have gone really... They've gotten so much better about the noise that their backup beepers make. They call it a white noise, so anything that's directly behind it can hear it. It doesn't go around it, so it's not a really loud beeper. It's more of just a safety precaution, so anyone that's within a certain area can hear it, so they don't get ran over. But you know, we will absolutely, you know, I know that it's, no one likes to have us in their backyard, and it's my job to make sure that we make it as painless as possible, and I will do everything in my power to make sure that we're not disruptive to everybody that's surrounding us.
Perlo has promised that those some 2,200 cement trucks visiting the Project Shakespeare site over the course of its construction will not access the property from Southeast First Avenue, which would take them by a number of area homes, but will instead use South Walnut Road, which serves only industrial properties and farms. The noise variance will take effect on June 24th and remain active through December 6th.
A man survived driving his car into the Willamette River early Friday morning, evidently on purpose. According to the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office, deputies located the man after receiving reports of a suspicious man banging on doors of houses in the Oak Grove area shortly after 6 a.m. and acting strange. Callers said the man was, quote, bleeding from his arm and said something about a car crash before running off. Deputies arrived in the area, located the man, and determined that he had intentionally driven off the Oak Grove boat ramp and into the Willamette. His injuries were apparently from the crash itself and from his subsequent efforts to extricate himself from the submerging vehicle. He was transported to an area hospital for mental health assessment and treatment of his minor injuries. Police say he will be connected with mental and behavioral health services that the sheriff's office partners with regularly. The boat dock was closed for several hours while the CCSO water rescue team and search and rescue coordinators located the submerged vehicle, ensured no one else was inside, and removed the vehicle from the river.
A new bill requiring school districts to adopt plans and policies to prevent youth suicide passed in both houses of the legislature last week and now goes to Governor Kate Brown to become law. The measure, Senate Bill 52, also called Addie's Act, is named in honor of Addie Staub, a Portland high school student who died by suicide in 2017. The legislation requires the State Board of Education to adopt rules to guide district planning with input from the Oregon Health Authority. School districts may also utilize suicide prevention experts, as well as school employees, parents, and others to help develop their suicide prevention plans and policies. Addie's parents, Lon and Christine Staub, were present for the bill's passage on Friday and have been involved with the proposal throughout the legislative process. During a hearing on SB 52 in February, Christine said her daughter had once written a school paper that was clearly a cry for help, in which she disclosed self-destructive thoughts and even said she feared for her future safety.
I often worry for my future safety. Tragically, in response, she only received minor grammatical suggestions. The teacher did not reach out to us or report it to the administration. We only read her memoir months after she was gone and I had broken into her computer. We need to recognize cries for help and to reduce suicidality for our LGBTQ youth or any young person who feels marginalized. It requires a major culture shift. Our youth need to feel supported at home, at school, in the community, and also by their peers. We have made incredible progress during the last few decades, but the continued high rates of suicide, particularly among transgender youth, demonstrates we have a long way to go. Part of this culture shift is passing Addie's Act. Senate Bill 52 will send an important message that the lives of all of our kids should be valued, respected, and affirmed, no matter how they identify or who they love.
According to the Oregon Health Authority, suicide is the second leading cause of death among young people aged 10 to 24 in Oregon. Teenagers face ever-increasing levels of social pressure, whether from social media, school, or trauma at home. Representative Courtney Naren of Wilsonville, a former teacher, said she saw firsthand the struggles of students in her own classroom. I have worried for the safety of my students when they left my classroom at the end of class, desperately hoping they would all return, she said. I knew that some of my students were not getting emotional support at home, which is why it is so important for schools to get best practices for policies and plans to prevent, intervene, and work through the aftermath of a death by suicide.
The Marion County Sheriff's Office Traffic Safety Team has announced that they will focus their efforts in the French Prairie area today and tomorrow during morning and evening commutes. The area, which includes the small and rural communities of Aurora, Donald, and Charbonneau, sees a heavy amount of commuter traffic along Highway 219, River Road, French Prairie Road, McKay Road, Jurgen Road, and Elaine Road. These roadways have also been the site of multiple serious injury and fatal motor vehicle crashes. Dangerous driving behaviors, including speeding, cell phone use, and following too closely, have been identified as contributing factors to serious injury and fatal crashes throughout Marion County. The goal of the operation is to educate drivers about the dangerous driving habits and to enforce violations known to result in crashes. This operation is funded by grants from the Oregon Department of Transportation. Speaking of grants, the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office has joined a national grant program to expand medication-assisted treatment for opioid use disorders in jails. The program, whose name, the Planning Initiative to Build Bridges Between Jail and Community-Based Treatment for Opioid Use Disorder, is admittedly a bit of a mouthful, and it's a joint program of the United States Department of Justice, Bureau of Justice Assistance, and Arnold Ventures, a national philanthropy, I'll get that word right someday, out of Houston, Texas. Under the program, Arnold Ventures will spend $720,000 to help 15 communities implement medication-assisted treatment programs in their jails, including Clackamas County Jail. The Arnold Ventures grant will pay the team of healthcare experts who have experience with substance use disorders and corrections to help design and implement plans for offering treatment medications. The Sheriff's Office will receive guidance on providing opioid treatment as well as scholarships for 5 staff members to attend trainings in Washington, D.C. During these trainings, Clackamas County Jail and Community Corrections employees will study treatment guidelines and medications to treat opioid addiction, including methadone and, buprenorphine. We're going to go with that. Clackamas County will also develop a plan with local health care officials to ensure people can access treatment after they're released. The goal is to develop a comprehensive continuum of care models that target the jail population and builds bridges between in-custody and community-based treatment. Sheriff Craig Roberts says, quote, "Our participation in this program fits perfectly with our existing efforts to help people who need treatment, not jail time. Those efforts include the Transition Center, an all-in-one location providing crucial support services to people leaving jail or prison."
In sports this week, most spring activities are winding down along with the school year itself as teachers and students look forward to the imminent arrival of summer. The Canby girls rugby team capped off a phenomenal season as they fought hard but ultimately fell to the Lynn Benton ladies in the state championship at Western Oregon University on Saturday. It was the Cougs' only loss of the season as they finished number 2 in the state. The champs, Lynn Benton, went 6-0 on the year. Canby lacrosse continued their fantastic season this weekend, cruising to an easy win in their first-round playoff matchup against West Salem. Playing on the grass field at Canby High, the Cougs dominated 15-4. Next up will be Oregon Episcopal on Tuesday. Go Cougars! In track and field, senior Bryce Ard took home the gold in the Three Rivers League Championships. His 182-meter hurdle was the best in the meet and will qualify him to represent the Cougs at the state finals this weekend. Joining him there will be junior Isabella Kasalik, who finished second in the 800-meter, and Riley Knutson, who placed fifth in the men's high jump. Finally, the Canby Cougar baseball and softball teams wrapped up their regular seasons last week and will be in postseason action tonight. Canby baseball took 2 out of 3 in the closing series against rival Oregon City, closing the season on a high note as they face a tough draw in the first round. They'll head to Roseburg to take on the 6th-ranked Indians. Canby softball ended their season with 2 losses, though both were extremely close, falling 8-9 to West Lynn and 6-7 to Banks in non-league play. Their first-round matchup is against the 21-6 Jesuit Crusaders, ranked 5th in the state. Hey Tyler, did you know that the world has changed in the past 20 years?
No way!
Yep, it's true. The way people shop for goods and services has completely changed since this thing called the internet started catching on.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
And yet some realtors still offer the same old services in the same old ways and for the same old percentages. Victory Point Property Group in Canby believes it's time the real estate business caught up with the times. They'll meet with you for free, explain every step of the process, give you a clear game plan, and even let you choose the listing commission.
Really? They let you choose their commission?
Really? Victory Point Property Group understands this is one of the biggest and most exciting decisions of your life, and they'll do everything they can to make sure you handle it like a rock star.
Wow, that sounds great. I'm going to check them out by calling 503-263-4700 or by visiting online at victorypointhomes.com.
You do that. Victory Point Property Group, real estate reimagined.
So I'm here with Derek Hill, president of Advantage Mortgage in Canby. I was wondering what's going on in the mortgage industry right now.
The mortgage industry is on fire right now. The big thing that's really exciting for us is that we are now an independent mortgage broker, which means that we can offer substantially lower rates and lower fees for our customers. For example, we just got a loan last week and the realtor said, hey, I think you should go talk to Derek at Advantage Mortgage. And sure enough, we got the borrower 3/4 better rate, and we saved them $14,000 in fees.
Cool. So where can people find you?
So office number is 503-266-5800, or they can find us on the web at findtheadvantage.com. But most people just give us a holler or they stop in.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, Derek.
You bet. Advantage Mortgage, NMLS number 1770599. Derek Hills, NMLS number 50183. Equal housing opportunity.
To Remember Me by Robert Noel Test. Read in memory of Rose Marie Bentley. At a certain moment, a doctor will determine that my brain has ceased to function and that for all intents and purposes, my life has stopped. When that happens, do not attempt to instill artificial life into my body by the use of a machine. And don't call this my deathbed. Call it my bed of life, and let my body be taken from it to help others lead fuller lives. Give my sight to a man who has never seen a sunrise, a baby's face, or the love in the eyes of a woman. Give my heart to a person whose own heart has caused nothing but endless days of pain. Give my blood to the teenager who has been pulled from the wreckage of his car so that he might live to see his grandchildren play. Give my kidneys to one who depends on a machine to exist from week to week. Take my bones, every muscle, every fiber and nerve in my body, and find a way to make a crippled child walk. Explore every corner of my brain. Take my cells if necessary and let them grow so that someday a speechless boy will shout at the crack of a bat and a deaf girl will hear the sound of the rain against her windows. Burn what is left of me and scatter the ashes to the winds to help the flowers grow. If you must bury something, let it be my faults, my weaknesses, and all my prejudices against my fellow man. Give my sins to the devil, give my soul to God. If by chance you wish to remember me, do it with a kind deed or word to someone who needs you. If you do all I have asked, I will live forever. So my guest on the Cambi conversation today, I'm going to try and keep them under control as best I can. I've got three sisters here. We have Patty Helmig, Ginger Robbins, and Louisa Lee. Did I do it all right?
Yep.
Okay, great. And there's been, you guys are famous now. I mean, it's been a little bit of interesting.
We're the miracles.
You're the miracles.
Because if mom would have died with this, like most of them did at infancy or up to 5 years old, none of us would have been here.
Right. So she's a miracle and you guys are miracles by default. So
right.
It passed on. So let's tell people what we're talking about if they haven't heard the story, although I'm sure they probably have. Your mom, Rose Marie Bentley, passed away in 2017. Mm-hmm. At the age of 99, mm-hmm. And she was a wonderful person. We're going to talk, you guys have some photos, we're going to talk about her whole life story. Ginger has a bunch of books, like a whole stack here to show me. but the news story that's just blown up the past few weeks is that she donated her body to, or the family, it was her wish that she be donated to OHSU. Mm-hmm. And when they were studying inside of her, it turned out that her organs are transposed. Mm-hmm. You guys probably know more about the science than I do, but basically it's flip-flopped, you know. And as you mentioned, Luis, normally folks like that don't live very long,
right?
To have the organs flopped or in the wrong place.
One article says 1 in 50 million.
Oh, that happens too.
That would have lived that long.
Oh, yeah. Scientists believe that she's the oldest to have lived that long with that condition. So you guys knew about it before the news story came out, right? Or...
Well, we knew at the hospital had told us.
Okay.
But the only thing we knew is that her appendix weren't quite in the right spot when they mm-hmm. went to take it out.
Oh, okay.
And that's the only thing in surgery that they've ever mentioned.
That happened during her life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so nothing was ever caught.
Okay. You guys didn't think it was weird that she would always, like, you know, drive on the wrong side of the road and things like that? Or nobody picked up on that?
Not with her. No.
In her heyday, she was a good driver.
Her health was good.
Yes.
Yeah.
No bouts of pneumonia, no nothing. She was even missing a lobe on one lung.
too. That was
another thing. Normally that would result in something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. So you found out when she passed back in 2017.
We didn't find out. About 6 months later.
Okay.
At least 6 months, yeah.
And asked if they could do an article on her.
Okay.
And that's when they told us.
What was your thought? Were you just like, huh?
Well, I thought, oh my gosh. Well, mother would have thought it was fun.
Oh yeah, why?
She, well, just because it would be something different. She would have thought it was
fun. Did she like to be different?
Well, about some things, yeah.
Yeah.
And now if Dad was still alive, he would have teased her to death.
Oh yeah,
he would have been unmercifully. Oh yes.
He was 3 months younger, so he teased her every year about marrying such an old lady.
Rose and George?
Jim.
Mm-hmm. Were they the founders of Bentley's Feed?
No.
Okay.
They had bought it when 55, I believe, 1955.
But they were the first Bentleys to own it. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
He had worked there before.
Yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't called Bentley's. They renamed it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was Fogelsang.
Fogelsang.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And then Mom had worked in the restaurant next door, so that's where he met
her. Oh, okay.
Yes. And he says,
gotcha.
He always said that he had to quit drinking coffee because Mom made lousy coffee. So he drank tea.
So he did like to tease her a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Unmerciful.
Yeah.
So he would have had a heyday with this one.
Yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
I always say he is having a heyday with
yeah.
this.
Yeah. So when you guys found out about the organ thing, you're just like, oh, you know, Mom would like that. That's kind of neat. But you didn't think, like, this needs to be global news or anything, you know. Yeah.
No.
So that kind of took you by surprise these past few weeks.
Definitely. It did me. I was just... Really? Okay.
The lady at the hospital said, oh, you might have a few people, you know, a few contact you. And I thought, okay. But then I think I've counted about 19
different yeah, that reached out to you. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The best one, obviously, Cami Now Podcast. But sure. I mean, a few of the others, whatever, doing whatever they're doing. But
because we were kind of wondering how, and people have asked me that, how did the news get a hold of it?
Well, it was OPB was the first I saw. I have what's called Google Alerts, which is basically just like through Google, the search engine, you can set up like certain words, and they'll email you when Google picks up something new from that word. So I have them set up for like Canby and Malala and whatnot. So that was the first I saw it was, you know, the headline was like, Malala woman is the oldest, you know, with her organs on the wrong side of her body. So, and then like the next day there was like 100 stories.
Yeah.
I think when the university went to that convention, I think it was in Florida.
I don't know.
And talked about it. I think it kind of exploded after that.
Okay, cool.
Because they
were going to put it in some magazine.
Yeah, and then they...
A journal.
And they were going to a convention and going to talk about it.
So that's how it kind of got out. Yeah.
See, then after they work on her for a long time, the students, then they'll cremate her and send her back to us.
Oh, okay.
And then my dad, we have him, he did the same thing.
Cremation.
And but he went to OHSU also.
Yeah.
And so then we'll have their ashes to sprinkle up on Goat Mountain.
Goat Mountain above Malala, that's where they want to be.
Goat Mountain. Why?
They used to have, you can overlook Malala from there.
Yeah.
You used to have a smoke tower.
Oh,
fire, smoke, fire.
Yeah, that's really special. So just that they cared so much about Malala
and
that area.
He wanted to look over Malala. That's where he wanted to be. So.
That's cool.
So we're just waiting.
Just
for
waiting.
Moms.
Yeah, and you don't know when it'll be, but soon.
Well, we're hoping. They did say, I thought it was just going to be a year, but somebody said, oh, they can keep them up to 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be next year.
Yeah. And with her, they may.
Yeah,
because it's so different.
After I heard that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So.
But they said there was not like a funeral, it wasn't, what would you call it? A presentation.
A ceremony.
That they have, there was probably 250 people there, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
That had donated their
family member
or somebody.
Oh, cool.
And it was a lovely ceremony that they did.
Just
they
to say thank you.
To say thank you, that they were so appreciative because it's so much better for them to work on a real cadaver than one that isn't real.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was a very nice ceremony. It was for everybody.
And we sat across the table from one of those students and she said, was a family member. I said, it was my mom, Rosemary. And she goes, oh, we learned a lot from Rosemary.
Oh, that's what one of the students said. That's so cool.
Yeah.
And normally, I don't think they're supposed to know all the names.
Right.
And all
right.
That. So it was kind of funny that she
Rosemary
said
Rosemary is hard to bring in.
Yeah, but of course, too, when they first we're trying to open her and everything. They said they were looking for a specific
vein
or artery or something. And they said, there isn't one. And of course, the professor said, "Oh yes, sir."
Rolling his eyes coming
and
over
it,
there.
Yeah, but it was on the other side.
Oh, so cool.
That's where it began.
Yeah, it didn't go. I bet those students felt pretty vindicated that day.
No, I bet
see?
They did too.
Well,
yeah,
then everybody was there.
Yeah,
so it was really interesting.
Oh, that'd be an interesting
the
scene.
Ceremonies. They talk about some of the things they learn, and then they do. A lot of them are very talented, musical,
right.
So they would do that kind of thing.
Right, and it's something that would be unexpected, not only because it's so rare, but they wouldn't expect it to be in someone who's so old. Because,
right,
that's right.
Definitely,
yeah.
I think they had one documented at 73.
I think that's what I remember from the news coverage. So,
So we've got Pat Ginger made copies of all the stories that we had.
Oh, cool.
No, Ginger did.
Ginger did, sorry. Yeah. So
that's
we can
awesome.
Have them and keep them.
Do they know what causes it? It's just a random...
No, I think they said it... the first 30 days or 45 days
in the
process of becoming a human in the embryo is when it happens.
Okay.
And that's the only thing we know.
So something just goes awry, but the life keeps ticking on.
And she was one of four, the youngest of the four.
Oh, okay.
And had three brothers.
Yeah.
So,
and baby continually.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was spoiled rotten.
And they're all gone now. We don't have a clue whether maybe one of them had the same kind of thing.
Sure.
But they're...
Yeah.
Grandma was 93. So.
It's the kind of thing in our, medical culture and society now, that would never happen. Like, you know, they would know, probably before they were even born, but certainly, at some point, you'd get an x-ray, and they'd be like, huh, that's supposed to be on that side.
And they took her gallbladder out, but I assume when they cut her open, they just reached down and took the gallbladder, because gallbladder's almost in the middle.
They did do an extra hole.
Yeah.
Because they were going to go after her appendix, and they already knew... when Dr. Williford did her hysterectomy, he knew her appendix was gone or not there. And so he traced it, and it was up underneath her ribs. And but he drew a little map because he didn't have time to get it out at that time.
Oh, okay.
She was under too long. So.
Okay. But you said that she did come back later and had that removed.
When they did the hysterectomy.
The gallbladder.
Yeah, the gallbladder. They got it.
Interesting. Luis, have you enjoyed some of the news coverage, or is it kind of getting tiresome at this point?
It's been fun.
Yeah.
I just think how tickled they would have been.
Yeah.
You know.
Sure.
And
your parents.
It was really important to them, too. To either donate parts or being because they were so older than it was donating to the hospital for a cadaver.
Sure. So what was their reason for wanting to do that?
We had a poem, and I don't know if anybody brought it.
I didn't.
Oh, come on. Not in the stack of papers, Ginger?
Dad had found it in the Oregonian.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I have it on my phone, I think. Anyway, it was all about donation.
Okay.
To give eyes to a man that had never seen his... newborn baby or whatever, and it was pretty long poem about
that.
Sounds lovely.
He was passing it.
Wish Ginger would have brought it.
He was passing
it. I looked at it this morning and I thought,
I didn't even think about it.
You know, we'll have to, because we do a segment on the show that is poetry. We will. Luis will. Figure out where that is, and we'll read it. So you guys listening to this have probably already heard it at this point. But this will explain why you heard it. Cool. Well, let's talk about Rose as a person. The science is really neat.
Her name is Rosemarie.
Rosemarie,
she would get very upset.
Would she?
It is her middle name.
Yeah,
okay.
But she was called.
She went by both. Okay, well, Rosemarie, forgive me. I will get it right from now on. Did they? What kind of person was she like? I mean, you guys knew her fairly well, I guess, as her daughters growing up.
Very stubborn.
Yeah? Well, let's hear from each one of you. You start, Patty. What was she like?
She worked really hard in the church and with campfire and stuff like that.
Did she work at the feed store once they got married?
She worked at the feed store.
Yeah.
Not right away. Too much, not right away. But
yeah.
More after the... We were gone then... when Tommy was little.
Yeah, and Dad used to dread the idea that after school we would come to the store because we were kind of a pain in the butt. But then we got a little older and it was like, when are the kids getting here?
Right.
Because then they could help.
Right,
so,
sure.
My brother had never worked anywhere else until just a couple years ago.
Yeah.
After he sold it.
As someone with small kids that has tried a couple interviews of having them in the background... and they've been miserable. I understand just what I thought about, but when they're older, they can help.
I worked in there until I was probably 16, old enough to get a job someplace else.
Yeah, cool.
And I left home.
One thing that I wanted to ask about was obviously Bentley's, the feed store has been in the news the past couple months, that horrible fire. It's now back in business and everything. But through that, I saw such an incredible outpouring of support and just so clearly demonstrating like how much the community loves that store, loves the family, you know. And I feel like a lot of that would probably go back to your guys' parents. Can you talk a little bit about that and kind of their approach to business or their approach to the community that you feel like built some of that goodwill?
They're going to try to keep the facade on the front.
Okay, cool.
So it's going to not look a whole lot different.
That's good. Are they able to restore what's there? Or was it completely destroyed? They're going to rebuild it in the same way.
It was back west. Yeah.
The back west.
Everything was gone from.
Yeah,
there.
That's what I thought.
But that wall they've kept in the very front. Yeah,
it was a poured cement wall, so it was
didn't burn.
Stable.
Yeah, cool.
And so it's just been kind of a staple in town for many, many years.
Yeah.
And so they were lucky they found a place. The kids were lucky they found a place that they could use.
Temporarily.
And
it's not quite
until
as
they,
convenient
they can,
for people.
No.
People don't see it because it's off the path.
Right, not downtown like it was. But are they hoping to move back to that same space?
Yeah, they're hoping to rebuild.
Yeah. Cool. What about Luis and Patty? Did you do you remember kind of growing up the store being a big deal, or your parents talking about kind of their approach or how much they appreciate customers and things like
that? As for me, I was never at the store as much.
Yeah.
Patty and I don't think were. I never worked there. My husband did.
Yeah.
My ex-husband did years ago.
Yeah.
But we'd go down there just to play on the hay.
Yeah.
You know, in the back head. Was
sure. Oh, that's gotta be fun. Yeah.
That's all really that we did at the store. It used to have like a wood stove in there where.
Oil stove.
Was it oil?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where the guys would come in and sit in chairs. Yeah. And talk to my dad.
The old country guys, store.
You know,
One of them, especially George, was like an grandpa to us.
Yeah.
You know, and stayed that way. He was a bachelor.
Yeah.
Cool.
And dad was even, took care of
those little old boys figuring out all the world's problems.
Right.
I grew up in a town that had a store like that, too.
Yeah.
Well, I asked you to bring some photos and maybe tell me a few stories. Can we do that? Are there some fun family stories or some fun things about Rosemary?
This is her mother's in this one, too. This is one of my boys.
Okay, cool.
So that was my grandma.
So we got a photo, and who is she holding? Would that be
Patty?
That
would be one of my younger boys.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's mine.
Gotcha.
Okay. Shannon's husband, yeah.
Okay, cool.
So that was probably his birthday.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
So
this family was very important to her.
This is mother when she was about 2.
Oh, wow. So she was born August 19th, 1918.
Mm-hmm.
Momentous year.
Mm-hmm.
At Walport, Oregon.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oregonian to the core.
Yes.
So these are.
They did travel quite a bit because her dad was in construction, but Oregon was their base.
I'm going to take a picture of these and share. It's three beautiful pictures of her. How old is she? 2, you said?
2.
2. Mm-hmm. With a little bowl cut.
Yeah, really.
And a baby doll.
Kind of unlike I would think she would have been with a little bowl cut.
Yeah. She normally had a more glamorous hairstyle.
Well, she went to beauty school.
Yeah. Oh, did she?
No. When she was 20, she graduated from beauty school.
That's interesting. And like all beauty school graduates, she went to work at a feed store.
Yeah. She was a hairdresser for a long time.
Was she?
Yeah.
And
she raised these, Ginger and Patty, in a beauty shop. They lived in the back room. In Portland.
So that would have been after the waitressing thing?
No,
before.
Before.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, this was...
During the war.
During the war.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. We're that old.
Yeah.
This is mother and her three brothers. She
okay,
was the
cool. So she was the only girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no wonder her organs got all mixed up.
Yeah,
and my wife had three brothers and was the only girl, and she has a few scars from it too. So.
I have four boys, but no girls.
That is
beautiful.
Mother. Do you know how old she was there?
I think she was 18.
I think so too. She was just about there.
So lovely.
And then this one here, which is the same one, she's got the big
one.
Mm-hmm. I don't think she needed to go to beauty school.
My kids saw this on her wall at home, and they always say, Grandma could have been a movie star.
She looks like something to be like on, you know, a cookbook or like Betty Crocker, you know, like so wholesome and beautiful. Yeah.
And how old do you think she was in this one? I never did.
That's her graduation, high school.
I was going to say, is that prom or something? Or did they have
graduation
that back then?
High school, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And where'd she go to high school?
Vancouver.
Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even though they traveled all over and she went to 19 different schools.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
They all graduated from Vancouver High.
Huh.
I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was it her dad have to travel for work or military? Or?
No. Construction.
Built roads and
built dams and roads and built part of.
I recognize a couple of people in these pictures.
Yeah. He built the part of the road around Crater Lake, for instance.
Okay.
He built the railroad track that goes from Lake Oswego down into Portland.
The trolley track. I didn't know that. So you guys are telling me things about it. I wasn't maybe paying attention.
They also, his company built the road in Cuba that went down through the middle of Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
And Mom and Grandma went with him, except Grandma, the climate didn't agree, so Mom used to have nosebleeds, so they came home.
Oh, okay.
So Grandpa came home not too long after that because he had malaria. Oh. That was a cool one.
Yeah. Did she like to ride?
She loved it.
Yeah.
But they lived in a lot of shacks like that. Mm-hmm. When they
oh,
were
really?
In construction
that
sites.
That was our house.
Sure, that was the house. Wow.
Here's one of when I got baptized.
Uh-huh. Where's the finish
picture? So that's an old one. And that minister,
an old Polaroid.
That minister baptized me, and he also married me the first time.
Oh.
Married you?
Yeah.
Which one?
Not married me.
Right.
He did the ceremony.
Yeah,
I don't have it.
We have a picture of Mother when she was, must have been 90, where she caught a huge,
she
big
fish.
She
was fish. It was on one of the podcasts, but I don't have that picture.
I don't have it.
Or not podcast.
I thought it was in here, but...
On one of the TV
things. Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. Actually,
she liked to fish as well.
Got a big salmon. Oh, she loved to camp and fish. Dad never did, though.
Yeah. Oh, really?
So it was Mom and the kids would go camping.
Yeah.
Have it on my computer.
Oh, do you?
Was her... the rest of her family... long lived like her? I mean,
yes.
to live to be 99 even?
Grandma was 93.
Was just shy of 93.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. And her brothers didn't live that long,
no.
Uncle
Bill died young with lung cancer. Uncle Guy, the oldest one, was
he
the
died.
Last one to die.
Okay, cool. But the condition may have been genetic as far as we know. Like, I mean, there's no way to check.
We don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, none of you guys have it? Have you been checked?
Don't know?
Well, I think we would know because I've had enough MRIs and things that
I've never had.
See, and I haven't either.
Mine are sort of in the right place, but...
Okay.
Didn't have my shoulders, my knees.
Right.
My
bones
shoulder.
Are all in
my
the same place, that's all we know.
Yeah, we
so.
Always blame our shoulder on Mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
interesting.
She had bad shoulders.
Yeah. Well, we're almost out of time, but I wanted to ask if maybe each one of you could share a favorite memory that you have of your mom.
Mine is just the fun we had as kids. Even though we would go pick berries and beans,
yeah.
She would go with us and do and pick also.
Oh, okay.
But then if we did that, we got to go to the river and swim,
mm-hmm.
and she loved to swim, and she was right down there with us.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of good times that
yeah.
way.
That's really fun.
She's an excellent swimmer.
Excellent.
Yeah, was she?
She was on a swim team when she was young.
She learned to dive before she learned to swim.
Yeah, yeah.
Her oldest brother, I think, would push her off the diving board.
Yeah.
And then they'd swim in and get her, but they would make her, they taught her to dive.
Okay.
Long before she learned to swim.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so you just toss her in and... That's mm-hmm. how she learned, huh?
Jackson Beach.
Yeah.
Big swimming pool there.
Was there a river around here that you guys, Malala? Yeah, you'd swim
yeah.
in?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. Until it got too shallow? Or?
Well, it's changed from the floods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was near the Arrowhead Golf Course.
Oh, okay.
We called it Wagon Wheel at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Park, but they still swim down there, but it's different than it was.
Cool.
You always swim at Friar Park.
Friar Park.
Yeah, Friar Park.
Mostly wired from Wagon Wheel for us. Yeah.
Ginger?
Well, I'm trying to think. She was our campfire leader from the time we were in third grade.
So what is that? Is that a church thing?
No, it's like Boy Scouts.
Oh, okay.
Only girls.
Used to be girls
now
only.
It's
now it's
boys and girls scouts. Yeah.
Yeah.
They start with bluebirds and then go to campfire girls.
Okay.
But she had most, our friends until we were in high school. And then she had our little sisters, like she was my little sister later, so we helped with her class as they were going up. But we went on some really nice trips and stuff, and camping mostly, but we went down to San Francisco one time, and we went to a lot of different places. Up to Canada. So it was fun. And she really was a hard worker. One of the last times I was at her house. I stayed at her house a lot at the end there. One time it had to do with the hose. Somehow the hose had to go to the other side of the house. And she had drug it under the house and out to the other side. And I said,
Would she crawl under the house?
Yes. I said, Mother, if we would have lost you, we wouldn't have known where to look under the house.
Well, you just yank on the hose and pull her out.
But
nobody would have thought of that because it was supposed to be stay under there.
That's funny.
She had a mind of her own, clear up until the end. And she was very different after she kind of, her memory was kind of gone, but she definitely had a mind of her own.
Cool. Thank you guys for taking a time out of your famous busy lives to talk to me and tell me a bit about Rosemarie, because I did see the story and it's a fascinating, interesting story, but my thought was kind of like, it'd be a shame if she was sort of known as a medical audit, you know, after let's tell the whole story of the person. So I really appreciate you guys taking the time out.
You're welcome. Thank you. I think it's a fun thing to have a memory of.
Someday we'll find out if we have
a I'll stay tuned to OPP to find out.
Are you a small business owner or maybe thinking of investing in yourself with your very own startup? Awesome! Now all you have to do is reach potential customers at a time when consumers have never been more fragmented, more distracted, or more difficult to reach. If that sounds hard, believe me, it is. That's why I make Frankie do it.
Carrie and her team at Promotional Strategies offer strategic, purposeful solutions to build your brand with lasting promotional items that make sense for you and your company. They are creative geniuses who will deliver advertisements that people actually thank you for and will use every day. We've tried other sellers, and we trust Carrie to provide high-quality branded items that we can be proud of. Find them at 695 Southeast 1st Avenue in Canby or online at ps266swag.com. Sup, Tyler?
What? Hey, Frankie.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good. I feel like you're a stranger, and I haven't seen you in weeks.
It's been a while. It's been a minute, for sure. Yeah, I guess you think that you can just, like, you know, sleep some weekends and not not stay up all night doing the show.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
well,
I don't know what that's about.
It's already almost 10 o'clock, and we're just now doing this.
The listeners don't need to know all this. Come on.
It's important to me that they know this, that I've stayed up very late.
Hey, listeners, welcome to the Can't Be Now Soapbox. This is a segment where sometimes we talk about controversial stuff.
Right now, it's more like Soapbox After Dark.
It is, yeah. Should I do a different, like,
Soapbox?
Welcome, listeners. To the Canby Now Soapbox.
Hey, you foxy Canby listeners.
People are listening to this at like 7 in the morning. They're like, way too early for this.
Yeah, for real. I know.
Yeah, well, at least it's not Jasmine Nunez.
It could be way worse.
It could be worse. Yeah, no one needs that. So, like I was saying, this is Canby Now Soapbox, where we sometimes talk about controversial issues. Today, we're just kind of hanging out for a little bit, talking about life.
This is literally the first time we've been in the same room for like 2 weeks.
Been a long time,
I think, since we did like the Yap at the Tap.
Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
That we've been this close to each other.
Yeah.
So, like, hi. Joyelle and I, my wife, got away for the weekend.
Yeah.
Down to the beach. It is our 9th wedding anniversary this year.
Very
crazy.
Cool, man.
So, and I feel old.
You feel old?
Yeah.
Like in your bones you feel old, or you just
like
mentality?
Well,
like
I looked in the mirror and I'm noticing like white hairs.
I think that's okay. I've got white in my beard, so, and I'm
We're both
30,
getting old,
so.
Though. That's the thing.
I guess.
That doesn't make me feel better. That just makes me feel like I'm not the only one.
You've got friends.
So, yeah, we got away to the beach. It's like every day was, you know, gross except for the day we left.
Sure.
As is tradition.
Yeah.
But that was okay because mostly we just were watching Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay. Trying to keep up with that.
Trying to get caught up, yeah. Which didn't end up happening because I'm like five seasons behind.
Oh, you have a lot to catch
up
on.
I'm way behind. Yeah.
Holy
yeah.
cow, man.
She's only like a season behind, but she's been kind of catching up with me. So.
Yeah.
So a lot of Game of Thrones. We've got an election coming up. You know, yeah. We did some coverage and everything. Uh-huh. So I'm feeling like in the right mood, in the right frame of mind to cover an election.
Sure.
With Game
of
Thrones.
Being a Game of Thrones fan as you are.
School district and fire board elections, I think.
Kill them all.
In Canby and Clackamas County, very, very similar to season five of Game of Thrones. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I've never watched Game of Thrones, so I just assume everyone dies. That's what I've heard.
I mean, that's pretty accurate. Yeah. I think you pretty much got it. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. I had several school board candidates in a room at one point for an episode we had
yeah.
a couple episodes back, and it was just like Game of Thrones. You know, there's like arrows and spears flying all over
right.
the place. Yeah. You know, somebody tried to pass a drink to someone. I'm like, no
that's poison.
Don't drink
obviously.
That. Obviously.
You're running for school board now. You need to know these things.
You run for school board, you win or you die.
There's no second place.
Oh, man. So you voting?
Sure.
Yeah? You're lying. I can't even tell by your voice and also your face, which I can see, but the
I'm
listeners
too busy
can't
to
see.
Vote, man. Legit, you, today I've been so busy.
Do you know,
seriously,
on our ballot, there is one contested race. It would
oh,
take
yeah?
you like 10 seconds to vote.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to vote for the uncontested ones. They just
I also
have
to
by
go
default.
Check my mail and get my ballot.
You haven't checked your mail in like 2 weeks.
I think I checked it right before the ballots like got in.
Yeah.
And I'm serious. I'm so busy. I don't even have time to go check my mail. Mm.
They didn't make it even easier.
Today I woke up. Yeah. I slept in until 8:30.
Yeah.
Took my wife to work. Went and worked with some people on some stuff. Picked up some breakfast for my wife who was at work. And then I came home. Worked on t-shirt designs for our merch. Worked
oh, nice.
On... something else that I'm going to talk about in a second.
Thanks for doing that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm watching Game of Thrones, probably.
I'm editing my book and helping somebody else edit their book.
Mm-hmm.
Getting ready for my new podcast to come out, doing research on that.
Which I was going
to
ask you about.
Yeah, I'll get into that in a little bit. I'm doing, and then I had to go pick up my wife, and then we had to go to this meeting in Canby with some pastors. And... Yeah, man, it's just been crazy. Like today, especially, has been super crazy. But yeah. It's good crazy. It's stuff that I like doing. So.
Yeah. Well, tell me about it. I want to hear.
Well, so yesterday I posted on our Now Hear This Studios page for the first time ever.
I saw that.
Yeah. You didn't even know I was an admin.
I didn't.
You
I was
forgot.
Like somebody hacked our yeah. our Facebook page
and posted these blurry pictures of a basement. But no, I got to hang out with a new up and coming company. They're getting ready to launch at the end of this month here in town. And they're doing
Columbia
podcasts.
Distributing.
No.
Oh.
They're doing podcasts and they're doing micro training things and all kinds of videos and stuff. So I get to really hone in with them and figure out some of their
is
audio
micro
stuff.
Training where you train like tiny people?
No, it's oh. it's like they take really long lectures and they've like condensed them down into like 30 minutes.
Mm.
So it's really attainable as it's. I don't know. It's something that I'm not qualified to talk about, but I am qualified to record.
Nice.
And so,
that's awesome.
So it's super cool. So today's been a lot of editing on that and getting those better. I'm working with them on how to make their recording space a little bit better and stuff. So that was it was really cool to hang out with them and get that going. And then I'm working with our contributor friend Hannah Ray Lambert,
mm-hmm.
And she and I are going to be doing a new podcast together called Between Lewis and Lovecraft.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I know. That's our old thing, huh?
That was my podcasting debut. Is that still on the internet somewhere for somebody to find?
No, I don't think so.
Okay,
I think
good.
It got taken down. And that's why I'm reusing
that. It's a really cool concept for a podcast, but I was not ready to not be scripted and
sure,
to be recorded.
And we're changing it quite a bit. Before, you and I, it was just a way for us to argue on the internet and have
right.
a reason to argue.
Because if there's one thing the internet needs, it's
you,
people arguing.
You and I argue.
Right.
Anybody arguing.
Anyone.
No. So now it's us, it's Hannah and I, who are both writers, and she read a book a week last year.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately. Not yeah. That's not hyperbolic. Like, that legitimately she read a book.
I think
book
she missed a week, so yeah. It is hyperbolic. I think she missed 1 week.
All right, whatever. Yeah. But, so she reads a lot, I read a little bit, we wrote thread a lot, and so the whole idea is, we're going to be going into the lives and stories of writers.
Yeah.
My two favorite authors are C.S. Lewis and H.P. Lovecraft, who are two completely different people. And so I really want to dive into why I like them.
Mm-hmm.
So our first series will be on C.S. Lewis and then H.P. Lovecraft. And then she actually gets a chance to choose. I think we're doing Gillian Flynn? I can't remember how
definitely
to pronounce
it. Definitely Gillian Flynn.
Yeah. who wrote...
Gone Girl,
which all...
Famously.
Literally the only thing I know about it is Ben Affleck was in the movie of that book.
That is true.
That is the only thing I know about it. So yeah. It's exciting to learn more about authors. And so that's what we're going to be doing is really doing a lot of in-depth research
crazy
on their lives.
Crazy twist in that book. I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Ben Affleck was dead the whole time.
Ben Affleck is actually Matt Damon.
Oh, no! super
actually,
exciting
he's
stuff.
Batman. That should have been the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, well, Hannah Ray's awesome. She's super talented.
Yeah.
And, I'm really excited for that.
The other really cool thing about it is... we're talking with the Book Nook right now to record at the Book Nook. Like, because cool. What better place is there to record a show about books and authors than at a bookstore?
Or maybe the library. But
or in our own recording studio. But you know what? It doesn't matter. I still love the idea that we're hanging out at the Book Nook talking about books.
Yeah, that's going to be really cool.
Yeah.
And maybe when we have our studio, you and I can... Because I do like talking about stuff like the original Lewis and Lovecraft was about.
Right.
So.
Maybe we can bring back my original podcast, We Speak Common.
Probably not. No, I don't know if I'm up for that. No. But yeah.
Because we don't talk about nerdy stuff ever.
No. Definitely not. Cool. What else is going on?
I don't know. Are you trying to give me a hint as to something I should be talking about?
No, I'm just really tired.
Yeah, me too.
I can't remember where we're going.
Do you have any feedback for me? Nobody's feedbacking on us anymore.
It's been a while. We have some, but I haven't been keeping track of it.
Let's talk real quick about our Patreon.
Oh, yeah. Because okay,
we did
so
launch the
Patreon. We launched the Patreon, and we have been getting a few patrons, which is awesome, and we appreciate your support so much.
Yeah.
So I think we're up to 5.
Yeah.
But most of that at the higher level, so it's like $60 a month or something. Whoever, however small, like we really appreciate in it. But if there are folks listening that are like, oh, shoot, I was going to do that or, you know, haven't got around to it yet, it's patreon.com/canbenowpod.
Mm-hmm.
You can look that up. See.
You can also get to it through our website, right?
Yeah, canbenowpod.com.
Yeah.
And let
me just say this real quick. So if you are on the fence, if you're like, oh, I really wanted to do it, I just haven't done it yet, please take 5 minutes out of your day and do it. You have no idea how big of a deal it is for us to throw it out there. If it's something where you're not sure what Patreon is, go to our Facebook page where we talk about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can, or on our website, you can find a way to get to it, and we explain what it is. And here's the big thing, though, is if we have a low amount of patrons, it's harder to get new patrons to join.
Mm.
There's the whole put your own dollar in the tip jar so people will tip, right? And we just ask that if you are someone who really does want to support us and you're thinking, yeah, maybe just $1 or $5, even that helps because that can help show that people are supporting us. It legitimizes us to other people who are on the fence about it at all. So that's a huge thing for us. And it's something I want to tell people because I want to be honest with people. I want to be transparent with what we're doing. Everything that this Patreon is doing is to get us a studio space, is to get us to better production, and to get us into the community where we can work with you guys.
Right. That's the thing. So it's not like us coming after your money to like get rich or anything. Right. Like we're putting it out there. We're showing people kind of what we've done just in the past 7 or 8 months that we've been doing this podcast and our vision for what we want to do in Canby. You know, we don't expect to get rich. We hope to maybe someday have this be something like this be our livelihood, you know, and something that we could potentially provide for our families with. But really right now we're just showing, like I said, showing people what we've done and what we hope to do and how you can be part of that if you like. So that's
And we're really never going to make this like, this is the only time we're going to really like do our whole
hard sell.
What is it where it's like the marathons of like, give us money and we'll stop talking about how much money we need.
I think that's what it's called. The give us money and we'll stop talking about it. I think
Funathons or something like that. Like, it sounds very much like a funathon type thing. We're not going to keep doing this. This is the one time we're going to talk about it until you see us in person. Then I'll talk about
it. Then we'll talk about it nonstop.
Frankie does so much work. He does so much, guys, and I feel inadequate. And the second we have a studio where we can have people come in and I can help people get their own voice and their own podcast, I'll be able to start feeling like I'm actually contributing to this whole project that we have going on.
Well, like, the one thing I was going to talk about, like, this past week, and it's going to be in our next episode, but I had the opportunity to sit down with some high school students and staff to talk about the suicides last year, which, you know, like, the whole Canby community, like, we were part of the community even though we weren't doing the podcast, and you and I talked about it several times, and we're feeling that pain, and it's something that wow, you turned that up really loud.
Yeah, I did. I realized I
now all
hear
of a
myself.
Sudden I can hear my voice super loud in my ears. But just the opportunity to be able to potentially do a lot more stuff like that. I mean, that was really, for me, even though it was hard and not a fun thing to talk about, it was really the highlight of my week because it felt real and it felt important, you know, to hear how these students were impacted by this terrible tragedy that happened, but how they're looking to not just heal, but make Canby High School a better and stronger place from it.
Yeah.
And that's a story that we're going to be able to bring to you guys next week, and we're working on a movie as well to bring that story to you. So as I find time with my other job and my other responsibilities, I'm going to be working on that. So that's the kind of thing that we can do a lot more of if this Patreon thing and just the show itself continues to grow like it has. So,
So I know you guys probably hear it at the end of every show, and it probably just becomes what you guys skip over to get to the end.
Nobody ever skips that.
Seriously, share us with your friends. Tell people about us, and if you feel like we're doing something that you can support, then head over to our Patreon and show us how much.
Yeah, and give us some feedback.
It's been a while. I need some of that.
We need some instant validation. We're getting old. We're still millennials, but we've got gray hair and stuff now. So.
Gray haired millennials.
Yeah.
We're going to make that a t-shirt.
Yeah. It's going to be a Facebook group. Yeah. Cool. Right, well, thanks guys, for listening, guys.
For someone who enjoys a well-brewed craft beverage at the end of a day, living in the Willamette Valley is like living in paradise. There are literally hundreds of craft breweries, wineries, and cider presses producing amazing stuff right here in our region, and it can be a little overwhelming, but it's also exciting, if you have the right guide.
That's why we love visiting the FOB Taproom in Canby Place on Southwest Berg Parkway. They have over 36 taps of the absolute best craft beer, ciders, and wines, which are constantly rotating in a wide variety of styles. And their friendly staff has the expertise to recommend something you're guaranteed to love. They've got an awesome trivia night every Wednesday and other events happening all the time, so be sure to connect with them on Facebook so you don't miss out. See you at the FOB. Don't you hate it when you're just getting caught up on your favorite show and then your video streaming service drops it without warning? Wouldn't it be cool if you could record unlimited programs at once and watch them whenever and wherever you want?
Meet Easy Video from DirectLink, the only app-based TV service in Canby that includes most of the major live local broadcast channels, sports, and national networks. Easy Video is, well, easy. It's compatible with your Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smartphone, and laptop, so you have more options for how and where you watch TV. And the best part of all, Easy Video members save an average of $360 a year over traditional cable. Say goodbye to HD fees, DVR fees, equipment rentals, and costly installation. Go to directlink.coop/EZV or visit them at the corner of Southeast 2nd and Juniper Street in Canby to learn more about the future of TV.
And that's our show. Special thanks to our guests today, Patty Helmig, Ginger Robbins, and Louisa Lee. And to all of our sponsors who really make it possible to do what we do. We encourage you guys to check them out and help support the local small businesses who support us. Hey, if you like what you just heard, please let us know. Write a review for us on Facebook, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss our latest episodes.
Last February, the unimaginable happened as two Canby High School students took their own lives in separate incidents. In our next episode, we sit down with students and staff to hear their perspectives about the impact this terrible tragedy had on the CHS community and the subsequent efforts to grieve, process, heal, and ultimately transform the culture of Canby High School forever.
If you have a news tip, an idea for a guest we should invite on the program, or suggestions of how we can improve, please contact us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Canby Now. Or to learn how you can start supporting our show and gain access to exclusive content through Patreon, visit canbynowpod.com/plus.